Oliver Callan on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by It's For Women. You are not 9 to 5 and neither are we. Conveniently open online 365 days per year, 24 hours per day.
In the studio by actor and writer Pat Kinnavan, winner of a Laurence Olivier Award for his one-man show Silent, which was for a run at London's West End. And that accolade was a couple of years ago, but was in the headlines this year when it was stolen. And the plays by this man from Cove have toured the world to great acclaim. And we're delighted to welcome you to studio, Pat. How are you keeping?
Thank you so much, Oliver, for having me on this morning.
Are you in good form?
I'm fascinated by that I'm following the hot assassin. God. And who else did you say? And Timothy Chalamet.
Yeah.
And then you get the caveman from Cove. I'm delighted to be here.
You're a long time out of the cave.
I'm out of Cove, what, 40 years now?
Are you?
Yeah, I'm living in Dublin 35 years now.
Wow, the accent has really gone in on you.
It's yeah, it really has, isn't it? No, I love it. I still love Dublin. I've seen a lot of changes in the 35 years, but I'm still working, and I'm really thankful for that. You know, just to be kept going still after that length of time.
Do places still inspire you?
Places,
whether it's Dublin, wandering around, or whether it's
it does.
Not being in Cove.
I was I got a taxi this morning with a lovely man from the Sudan.
Wow.
And we were coming down toward the convention centre and all that. And he was saying, wow, he said, I love this place. Look at the lights and the buildings. And I was saying, my God, 35 years ago, that was a completely different area.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? You could get a house there for nothing, you know. And now it's got probably the most expensive apartments in the world. You know,
there are tower blocks of offices. And
yeah,
the small houses of inner city Dublin, as it was, are still there, lingering.
It's very beautiful still around there. But I was looking at it. I was kind of, you know, it was a bit sentimental actually, thinking about it. Going, my God, it's so beautiful down there now by the river. But at the same time, you know, it's changed so much, and for the good as well. You know,
as well.
Yeah.
I think that's a good perspective.
Yeah.
You don't come from a family of actors or people in the arts?
No, I don't. I come from a family of seven of us in Cove. I was brought up really in the countryside outside Cove town. Yeah. No artistic leanings in the family at all. Although I always say to my brothers and sisters, they're the ones that should have been the actors because they're really entertaining and beautiful people. But I just decided that I was going to get paid for it. So, I have to say, I wasn't going to say this, but I have to take the opportunity for Cove. We lost our beautiful mama in June this year. An extraordinary woman, Mary Kinnavan, and the men and the women of Cove Hospital down there, the community hospital, they gave her such beautiful premium care. She was treated like a queen until she passed away. And we, as a family, we'll never forget their care and their time. I just had to say it. I want to tell them that we love them and we'll never forget them for that.
That's a lovely thing to say.
I had to, you know what I mean? But no, I'm going to get happy, all right? I'm going to get
happy. Yeah. Were you able to say goodbye to your mum?
Yes, I was. I had a heavy year, thank God, Oliver, touring. And especially in the spring, I was in America for 7 weeks. I'd never done a 7 week tour like that. I'd done 4 weeks, but not seven. And I was kind of nervous in the back of my head that I wouldn't be around if something happened to her.
Yeah.
But it just so happened kind of miraculously that I was in Cork that week, and I got to say goodbye to her. Beautiful goodbye, all of us did. And, you know, I often think of, you know, I think my first play, Forgotten, the first solo piece, is dealing with really, you know, the challenges of growing older in Ireland. Mm. And we were just so fortunate that Mam had the best care ever. And I often wonder about people that don't get that, you know, and it kind of breaks my heart, you know.
Yeah.
But it gives me impetus, I suppose, to carry on now and to keep telling the stories, you know what I mean, and to challenge that.
Is there a sense of, like, the complete story for your mum when you get to say goodbye like that? Because your dad died much younger.
Yeah, my dad died when I was 21. And I'll be really honest with you, that was when I decided that I was going to leave the civil service and become an actor. His passing was extraordinary to me because it gave me a kind of an impetus, and it gave me a kind of a newness in my life. So I didn't actually descend into sadness.
It can collapse people, yeah. But this had the opposite effect.
It did, yeah. I just thought, you know what? Get out there in O'Kinnivan and represent your father and take his name. And because he was a wonderful man. He was a very quiet, humble man. And I decided, yeah, you know, just make a go of it. And if it doesn't work out for you, you know, no big deal. You know, you're not dead. You know what I mean? So,
but you've tried it.
I tried it, and
fortunately for you,
I'm very lucky.
It worked out. So you left the 9 to 5. You were meddling in dabbling, I should say, in amateur dramatics at the time.
I was in Cove and on Haulbowline Island, where the naval base is,
brilliant people
down there. Lieutenant Commander Liam Smith, Claire Cullinan, Noreen Brennan, look, just amazing people. And it was a place to go, Oliver, and it was a place of, I suppose, rescue really for a lot of young people. I was terrible at sport, so I had to find my tribe, and I think I found the right tribe. And you know what I mean, that world of arts, you're down in Cove and you've been introduced to wonderful Irish writing by John B. Keane and Tom Murphy, and then equally you're on stage and you're doing French farce, or you're doing Dario Fo, or you're doing Tennessee Williams, or you know what I mean. So it was a world that I never thought would happen to me in my teens, to be introduced to all of that kind of wonderful theatrical art. And and thank God it's kind of, I suppose, it inspired me, and it's always with me, you know.
Yeah. But you always felt that you wanted to do your own shows, and it's particularly hard to do it on your own.
Yeah, I mean, I worked in the 90s. I was very, very lucky. I still am. I live on gratitude. I eat gratitude. And I was so lucky. I got chances, we'll say, in the Abbey and the Gate and the Gaiety and all around. And people were very, very good to me. I was very lucky to be working at the time with a lot of huge actors, the likes of Joan O'Hara, Pat Levy, Anita Reeves, Pat Laffin, Aidan Grinnell, Tom Hickey, you know, all these huge names that I was just watching all the time. I watched them. I felt it was a privilege to be around them. And then I started working in ensemble theatre, and I got loads of chances and I took them. I worked really hard, and then I met an amazing director called Jim Culleton, who runs Fishamble, and I still work with him now. And I kind of toyed with the idea of working on solo pieces, but they're not kind of solo, because everyone's working on them. I feel
like
I've got huge workmates around me. I've got choreographers, and I've got sound designers and lighting designers, so I don't feel as if I'm working by myself. We're all working together. So we over the last almost 20 years now, we've got 5 pieces, and I'm so lucky to have them.
And it's just you on stage?
It's just me on stage, but there's a carnival, really, of things around me. There's sound and lights, and you know, it's a wonderful,
it's always
team effort.
There are always stories from the margin of society, aren't they? And what it's like to be forgotten, silent, underneath, before, and king.
Yeah.
Always one word.
Yeah, the
names.
They were all one word. And I suppose, in a nutshell, with forgotten, I wanted to talk about the challenges in Ireland of growing old, and the challenges that are still here. Silent, the challenges of homelessness and how we deal with that, and how we see that, and how we balance our sense of consciousness about that. Underneath is about looking different in Ireland, not fitting into a mould.
Yeah.
Before, the fourth piece is about parental alienation, particularly fathers kept away unfairly from their children. Dedicated really to a wonderful friend of mine, Brian. Shout out to you, Brian, I love you. Who went through that. And recently then King is the final piece, and that's about mental health in Ireland, and particularly men's mental health and isolation. So these are things that I was sad about, Oliver, but also furious sometimes about, and the only way I could express it was to put it into my work.
It's a good way to express fury.
It is because you're not hitting anybody, but you're kind of trying to hit the mark. You're trying to,
You're sending people off into the night to think about it.
Absolutely, I hope so. And you know, audiences have been really wonderful, and people have really come out in support of the pieces. It's taken a long time to build up the audiences. I remember Jim Culleton telling me that 20 years ago. He said, "Pat, it's going to be a long old road." You know,
how long?
20 years, like of building up the audience.
Does it mean just having to constantly perform it, constantly get your name out there?
Yeah, and also the work, you know, I find if one person will come to see it, they usually come back the next time and they bring somebody with them. And that's, I suppose, the nature of theatre, is that people go and talk about it to other people. They've had an experience in the theatre and it's immediate, and it's growing in Ireland still. Like, we've got a huge...
And you're bringing three of the shows back early next
year. I am, and I'm so lucky to be bringing them back. I'm bringing Forgotten back and King and Underneath. So, I'm getting on the road at the end of January and I'll be rehearsing in January.
You have a unique performance style, if anyone's seen you. It's quite a rip-roaring performance. It's very physical.
People tell me that. I don't...
You don't see it.
I don't see it at all. Like, I don't know how I've evolved, but I know it changes all the time. I'm getting older now and I like that. I like the fact that my body is changing and that I have challenges with that, but I'm still as fit as I was.
What do you like about aging?
I like, I have to say it's much easier. I think it's much easier for men to age. The amount of pressure on my female friends, I kind of go, oh my God, it's high pressure. Men, I like to see lines in my face. I like to see my face get older. I celebrate it.
Never heard anyone say
I do. I love it.
No Botox for bad
kids. No, not in the cave.
Because of the expressions, and is it because of your job, do you think?
I think it's because of my job. I think I find that it's like, I see my kind of ancestors in my face or something like that.
Right.
I see a kind of a timelessness in my face as I get older. I don't mind it. I never really traded on... See, I'm not Timothy Chalamet. I never really traded on my looks. So I don't care about that.
Makes a difference.
But I sometimes I feel as if I'm looking at my great-great-grandfather or something like that.
Wow.
It's really weird. Yeah.
You seem to have this kind of disposition that means whatever challenge comes along, you're going to sit with it and take it as an opportunity, whether it's bereavement.
Yeah, I'm not going to freak out. You know what I mean? It's like, I think, you know, you mentioned the homeless thing later on. I'm so lucky, you know, we all are. And coming up to this time of year, I suppose it's a time really where I constantly count my blessings, you know. And life is... hard, so buy a helmet, you know what I mean? I kind of go, that's it, you know, I'm so lucky, we're so fortunate at this part of the world. Talking to that man from Sudan this morning, like, he's telling me all his family are still there and he hasn't seen them in 5 years, you know.
Go away.
So it all comes round, doesn't it?
It really does. Mm. I mean, we were once those people out into the world, weren't we? The Irish.
Absolutely. We had that conversation actually. I said, you know, we went off and lived in cities and sent money back home. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
He told me he's sending money home every week.
Yeah, it's just very familiar.
Yeah.
And it's only when you meet them, because taken as a blob, it's very easy to dismiss.
Yeah.
People are only here to take advantage of us.
And the bravery of it, Oliver, like, to go out into the world like that, you know, and the bravery of, we'll say, Irish people going to London years ago, you know what I mean? And having nowhere to stay or staying on the floor for a year, you know.
And nobody has suggested the Irish who are in London or New York, wherever now, from the 80s or 70s should come back now since everything's fine, which is the conversation with Syria. We're getting lovely messages in here. We saw Pat some years ago on stage at Cork Opera House in Ikeno. He was superb. That's from Dorothy in Cork. That'll be going 20 years now when you were part of someone else's work.
That's right. That was 2005. And the brilliant Mario Rosenstock.
He was the original star.
He was amazing. And then I took over for the best part of a year playing it.
Playing Roy Keane.
Playing Roy, yeah. And I loved it. Because I kind of went in there, I treated it like any other character. You know what I mean? I went in digging deep into it, like doing my research. I knew nothing about soccer. Right? So my best friend, Brian, he had to educate me. But what I did have in common with him is that I'm from Cork.
Yeah.
And I'm from working class Cork. Mm-hmm. So that was my kind of...
Your way in.
That was my gospel, you know. But I loved playing him, and the cast were amazing. And
Arthur Matthews was one of the writers.
That's right.
And Peter Sheridan was the director.
He directed it, yeah. But like we played in the INEC in Killarney. This is how hysterical it got. We played to 2,500 people a night. Men that had never gone to the theatre in their lives.
Or since.
All dressed up, or nor since, right? Screaming and roaring at us.
Roy Keane, Mick McCarthy. It's bizarre, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was amazing.
Did Roy Keane come to see you in action?
There was one night in the Olympia, I'll never forget it all. The lads were acting very strange because we were very close, all of us, you know. It was mostly men in the cast, and we were very close. I noticed their body language was all really weird backstage. They were avoiding my eyes, and then it turned out that Roy was in the box in the Olympia, but they didn't want to tell me in case it would freak me out. But he came backstage afterwards, and he was a sweetheart. He was a lovely, lovely person. I've never really met somebody as charismatic as him.
Is that right?
Extraordinary presence, yeah. And he was really polite to everybody. I remember I kept having to wipe my hand off my costume because the sweat was pouring out through my palm before I shook hands with him. Like, it was just like, I was pouring sweat yeah. out of my hand. And I didn't want to give him a creepy handshake, do you know what I mean?
Yes,
freak him out.
Yeah.
So,
and the more you thought about it, the
yeah,
more
and
sweat
afterwards,
came.
Then I went into kind of PTSD. Like, I was like, oh my God, I just met me. You know, because you don't get to meet Hamlet, you know what I mean? You don't get to meet Christy Mann from the Playboy of the Western World, do you know what I mean? It's the first time we actually got to meet the real person, you know?
Yeah.
But he had the most extraordinary connection with his eyes to people. Like, amazing. He'd give you his full attention. And anyway, he's a big hero in Cork and always will be. You know?
One rebel to another. You're always going to get a friendly stare. Mm. If there's such a thing. You won an Olivier along the way for Silent. That's the homeless play.
That came out of nowhere. That was
So that toured away in Ireland, did it, initially, and then ended up in the West End? Is that
it toured in Ireland and it toured all over the world, really. And then we ended up in the West End for a very short run. And I went then to Australia, and Jim rang me and he said, you know, Pat, I have to tell you something. Silent has been nominated for a Laurence Olivier Award. And I cursed down the phone. I can't do it now. I said, stop it. Don't take the mick out of me like this. This is not fair. And he said, I'm telling you, it did. And then we went along to the ceremony to represent. Had no idea that we were in with a chance. Absolutely no idea.
Really?
We're very humbled by it. Do you know what I mean? To be kind of, in a small way, representing Irish theatre over there. And
you were totally representing Irish theatre over there, because there's no theatre company's ever won this award.
It was the weirdest thing. But, you know, honestly, Oliver, I was so, and I am still delighted for Fishamble, because they produce such work, and it wasn't so much for myself. I was just so happy for Jim, because they work so hard, and they still do, and they produce new Irish writing all the time. And it was just a great acknowledgement of the work they had done before that and since.
Do you remember who you beat?
I don't know who I beat, but I tell you, I regret. Judi Dench was backstage. We were kind of shunted backstage. We were in shock afterwards, and she was standing over there, and I thought, will I go over and say hello to her? And then I thought to myself, no, Kinavan, you will frighten the life out of her. She's an old lady, right? And I said, I had a big red head up me, right? And I thought, like, I ain't pretty right now, right? So it's not.
You're the wrong shade to approach.
I was a bit of a caveman now at that point. And I
you
thought,
regret
no.
that.
But I kind of regret it that I didn't say hello to her, you know what I mean? But I saw her and she was there. And there was.
You were probably thinking, I met Roy Keane. There's no one going to beat that. That's
no one's going to top that.
That's only Judi Dench.
This is Judi Dench, yeah, from Cox City.
But your Olivia Award, I mean, there's no better time to approach somebody of that calibre, is there?
Listen.
Come here, what happened? It was stolen this year.
Earlier on this year.
The office was broken into?
I think the offices around, the offices and different offices were broken into, and it was stolen. To be honest with you, there was more publicity about it now than there was about when we won it.
It was terrible.
We were very, very quiet about the whole thing. But thank God they got it back. And I can't talk about it now because it's under investigation.
Yeah, but it's back. Larry, as you call it.
Larry
back
is back
on the shelf.
Yeah, he's back. And it's very special for Fishamble. You know, it's a very unique thing to have. And it's and we we also brought him around the country. When we brought him home, we brought him around the country to, as we toured. And if people wanted to get a photograph with him, they threw money into a box and we raised a few bob for the Simon community. And
that's
stuff.
Lovely.
Because
that's great,
after all, it, like,
that's
it's about homelessness.
About.
Do you know what I mean? So
I'd say you do a very good Olivier yourself.
I can't tell you that right now. I'd have to kill you.
All five of your albums, as you like to call the solo shows, tour basically all the time, don't they? Would you tell us about what's coming up, upcoming? The Watergate Theatre, that's Kilkenny.
Kilkenny is beautiful, beautiful theatre, and we got great audiences down there. We're doing Forgotten, which is the first piece. We're doing that at the end of January, and then in February, we're in the Civic in Talla. I can't wait to go there.
Doing King.
We're doing King, yeah.
Flitting between them.
Yeah. And then we do Underneath, I think, after that. So
yeah,
I kind of have them in my head.
And you're in Wexford Arts Festival Centre, sorry, in April doing King, which is the Elvis adjacent one.
Yeah, King is the newest piece, really. And Oliver, it's about really a guy who won't leave his flat or his house. The only reason he leaves it is to do his work as an Elvis impersonator.
Oh, okay.
Because he has to get money. The phenomenon of a lot of the Fair Deal stuff is that sometimes people find it hard to raise the money for their mother or the father's hair, skin, teeth or nails, things, little vanity things like that. So he has to go and get the money. And so
it's the only cause that gets him out of the house as Elvis, which is obviously
his doesn't want to do it for himself. He just wants to do it for his father because his father was kind of immaculate, you know, and he gets very, very frustrated when he's not maintained like that. So, and it's about loneliness, too. And, you know, a lot of isolated men in the country who can't express that. And it's funny as well. But I see that more and more. You know what I mean? The kind of male isolation and people who are kind of forgotten about and agoraphobic and, you know.
Yeah.
Especially after COVID and all that.
Much worsened, wasn't it?
I think so,
worsened. And they're out there probably listening now. I mean, what can you say to those people?
I would say to those people that they need to understand that there are people who understand them and just to reach out because people... By nature, I believe anyway, Oliver, I could be naive. People are really beautiful and people are really gorgeous and they want to help and they want to share and they want to socialise. And you know yourself, you could be in a room with 20 people and you can feel isolated.
You can, yeah.
So it's kind of epidemic in the country, but everyone wants to help each other in some way, shape or form. So I would say make that tiny effort and talk to somebody or say
have
hello.
Have a chat, because the chances are we'll always sense someone is reluctant or in
I think we've got an inbuilt radar for that, you know what I mean? To pick up on other people's vulnerability and, you know.
Yeah.
And
beautifully put. I want to read out some of the nice messages for you, Pat. Are you able to take compliments? You should surely be good at this stage.
Listen.
I saw Pat 2 weeks ago in Ballina, his performance of King, as you're just describing to us, astounding, one of the most incredible pieces of theatre I've ever witnessed. That's from Alana. Can't express how amazing Pat's solo shows are. His performance will leave you speechless. I can't wait to see him in the Watergate in Kilkenny again. That's from Sarah. Oh, that man has a beautiful, gentle voice. I could listen to him all day, says Marion. I don't know if that's somebody.
Marion, you want to hear me when I start roaring?
Pat is a pure genius. His plays are fascinating. Every time he plays the Everyman Theatre in Cork, should that be home to you?
Yeah.
The audience is enthralled. He makes us sit up, take notice, entertaining us with his skills and awakening our inertia. Thank you, Pat. Come back to Cork soon. From Rose in Crosshaven.
Thanks, Rose. Thanks, everybody.
Go on and on. Pat has carved a niche all of his own. He's an amazing performer, a beautiful human being. We are very proud of him in Cove.
Ah, up Cove.
That's
I love you.
The most special one, isn't it? And national treasure. It's an overused statement, but when it's used when describing Pat Kinnevan, writer, actor and all-round great guy, it sits so beautifully. John from Cork.
Oh, thank you all. That's so lovely.
Thanks
I won't be able to get out of the studio this morning. My head is after growing huge.
Well, thanks
head.
For coming in and giving us a bit of hope.
Oliver, thank you so much for having me. I really appreciate it.
Not at all. No, you've done us a favour. Don't forget.
I was actually terrified coming in to meet you because
I thought,
oh my God, I was, yeah, because you're amazing at what you do.
And, I can't take compliments, so I'll have to
Well, you
off
have
now.
To take it now.